of associations to bid. Could you go into a little more detail on the yes and no of associations?
Sure, Carter.
Let's
approach it this way. Is anyone here in the room representing an association? Okay. Your association is made up of what? What is the membership of your association?
Online media.
Mm-hmm. For profit.
Some for-profit
and
some are basically civil society organizations, rather
media
outlets. They're mainly media. But media outlets, yeah.
NGOs.
Some are NGOs and some are for-profit.
Okay. In an instance such as that, I would say that while the umbrella organization, the association itself, is eligible to participate, your membership organizations, even though they are NGOs and civil society and whatnot, would not be able to receive our funding to help you implement the activity. Again, this is an effort to address conflicts of interest. We certainly want you to form partnerships, to form coalitions, to implement this activity, but we want you to go about doing it in a way that reflects careful thought and consideration as to what your partners can bring to the table in terms of implementing the activity. So again, dealing with transparency, what have you, you may look at members of other associations, perhaps, if there's any concern about this, we can do a deeper dive into the issue and help come up with some kind of solution.
So to maybe further clarify this, if an association were to receive funding, it can implement activities where their member can't participate,
right.
It just cannot issue an additional
right.
sub-grant
right.
Right. to its
members.
Right.
Right.
And the members individually can also be implementing this as well, right?
Yeah.
They could bid individually themselves
right.
as
right.
an independent
yes.
organization
they
if they want.
There's no ban on members bidding,
just
clarify.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just need to follow the money, basically.
Yeah.
How it flows from you, say, to the umbrella organization. And to the association membership. Okay, questions about co-creation and what do we mean by that? This is a new approach to development assistance that we've been trying here in Serbia and in other countries. Under normal circumstances, the USAID mission issues the solicitation, interested parties respond to it. We comment as part of the evaluation process of what you've submitted, and if everything works out okay, the organization ends up with the award. Co-creation works a little bit differently in that if we've identified your organization as the apparent successful applicant after review of concept papers, we're going to call you in, we're going to sit down at a table, we're going to have dialogue, we're going to have an exchange of views, and if all of the stars are in alignment, we'll have a meeting of the minds about what the activity is, how it will be implemented, what will occur during the period of implementation in terms of meeting targets, goals, and objectives, and most importantly, how will the activity achieve sustainability? After our funding disappears, is there an opportunity for the activity to continue with other sources of funding, et cetera, et cetera. But again, there will be a lot of discussion, there will be a lot of back and forth, and that's the essence of co-creation within the context of how we want to approach this activity. Yes, in the back.
Shannon, I'm from Shannon McGuire. I'm from USAID and Washington. Nice to see you. So I had a question, and I just went through the co-creation process myself, actually, in Washington, and it was really exciting and really interesting. And it was a chance for us to have a two-way conversation with the applicants, and it was, you know, I really encourage everyone to apply. But one of the questions that I had that a lot of the partners in Washington who participated had was, can you explain maybe the range of the funding, how you came up with sort of the range between the floor and the ceiling for funding, and is there any clarity on that, or does that just allow for flexibility for potentially multiple grants, or?
I think, sorry, you're referencing to the grants.gov, the minimum threshold, because on the RFA we have stated up to 3 million. That it's a on grants.gov there is a field that we have to
mandatory
field that we need to put. So
floor.
No, actually it was just something that we will have to put it. There is nothing to do with the in terms of the number of awards or the minimum threshold for the award that we are.
But to be clear, because I think. Shannon, you may be talking about a broad agency announcement. This is an RFA. So we're only planning one award under this agreement. So it's the maximum amount available is the amount that's set forward in the RFA. It can be lower than that, but we're only planning for one award.
Okay.
So basically, everyone that's interested will be submitting concept papers. We will select an apparently successful applicant and then begin to co-create the full application with them. But we will only have one applicant involved in that. Process.
More questions, please.
No technical questions, really?
You did a great job explaining it. No questions.
Explore what other types of activities we would consider funding besides the ones that we mostly. How many of you have received USAID funding in the past? Your organizations have received USAID funding in the past? Okay, only a few. Okay, you received funding from other donors, international donors here in Serbia? Okay. I can say with a certain degree of certainty that USAID operates very differently from the EU and the World Bank and other major donors here that you've interacted with. So. I would urge you, in addition to looking at all of the sources of information that we've provided here, to reach out to organizations that have had the experience of working with USAID, or I guess don't make any assumptions in terms of what you can expect when you become engaged with a USAID activity. Again, maybe that'll trigger some questions.
So what Carlton was trying to say is we do have flexibility, actually you have flexibility, to implement this through different sub-awards.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In other words, you can enter in a sub-contract if your technical approach requires that type of technical expertise. You can issue sub as well if your technical approach requires that type of the expertise. And of course, you are encouraged to form coalitions which are actually being implementing this. So besides this layer of, let's say, leading organization plus coalition members, you still have, if your technical approach requires that, you can still issue sub-grants and sub-contracts and plan for that.
I have to say that we've had some communication issues when we say that, no, you can have collaboration, you can have partnerships, what have you. When you're working with USAID, only one organization is held responsible for the implementation of the activity. So you can have three or four organizations as part of your coalition. And I would encourage you not to have more than three or four. But we will only hold one organization, the prime organization, as we refer to it, responsible for the implementation of the activity, including the actions of all of the members of the coalition or partnership that are working with you to implement the activity. More questions?
This is just a bit confusing.
Okay.
You will have one applicant,
mm-hmm.
one award.
Mm-hmm.
You are encouraging or not encouraging partnerships.
We
so I mean,
if
this is one award,
mm-hmm.
and you're looking for a whole Serbia, and you're addressing local medias,
mm-hmm.
so it's very narrow if we go alone. So are you encouraging partnerships,
mm-hmm.
or you're not encouraging partnerships?
We are, yeah.
What is the main goal that
mm-hmm.
you expect from us
mm-hmm.
to cover with these partnerships as much territory as we can, or
mm-hmm.
whatever, what
mm-hmm.
is that what you expect
mm-hmm.
from us?
I think thank you for that question, because I think we might be confusing things a little bit. We are encouraging partnerships, to be very clear, we are encouraging partnerships. And the point that Carlton is trying to make, however, is that the coalition itself, unless everybody that's involved in this wants to incorporate themselves as an official entity under Serbian law in their own right, we can only make an award to one organization. Nothing is stopping you from, you know, kind of developing a partnership with other organizations and other associations and saying, together, here are the activities that we want to take place. What Carlton is saying is, we can only have an award with one organization, and you will be responsible for the folks that you are issuing sub-grants to, that you've got partnerships with, that you have subcontracts with. So we are absolutely encouraging partnerships. We're just underscoring the fact that we can only make an award with one institution, not multiple ones. But we are absolutely encouraging partnerships. You also raise another point that I think is very important, which is coverage. We would like to see as much of Serbia as covered as possible, as much as we would like to see as many different forms of media covered as possible. But
and
we're
the focus groups
and exactly, and potential audiences. It's really up to anyone who's applying for this to think about, over the course of the next 3-4 years, what's possible. Because really, and I would recommend, you know, you've all seen the request for applications. What we're hoping to see in applications is that there will be activities that are engaging citizens in building skills to critically assess information, that you are looking for opportunities to engage civil society, self-regulatory organizations to promote adherence to journalistic standards, any sorts of activities that over time will increase demand for objective information. The activities that are up here on one of the previous slides are illustrative activities. If there are other ideas that you have that can achieve those overall objectives, please propose them. Think about how you could engage a large number of citizens, how you can engage a large number of platforms, how you can engage a large number of audiences. We're not going to demand 100% geographic coverage in Serbia. That's not realistic with any activity, and certainly not an activity of this size. But really thinking through how, through engaging citizens, change around these issues might become possible. Is that helpful at all? Okay.
Yes.
My name is Halina Simic. I'm from Birn, Serbia, which is different from Birn as network of Balkan investigative reporting network. So just to clear, that we can, we are eligible as local organization being at the same time part of the network. Mm-hmm. And the second question is regarding this administrative requirements. Mm-hmm. Which point are we sure that we have them or not have them? So mm-hmm. if your team is coming to check up on us, is it after the concept note?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah.
And if we are sure that we don't have something, we can communicate with you to make it.
Yes. Yeah. It's not that scary, I promise.
Well,
there'll be a lot of questions. Somebody with experience in the room is shaking their heads. No, it. Yes, and that's after the concept stage. That's after an apparently successful applicant has been considered. But that's what you're asking about, is really looking into the pre-award and financial management, those sorts of issues.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. That's once the apparently successful applicant has been identified.
Because there are certain things that are not in line with your requirements.
Yeah.
We
right.
may.
Right.
May. Yeah.
And just to add to that point, I think Albert mentioned in his presentation that at any point in the process, we may make a determination that we can't move forward with an award for any variety of reasons. Once we've identified the apparent successful offeror, if that organization has not done business with the USAID mission in the past, we'll probably have to conduct a pre-award survey. And that survey would look at your management procedures, technical as well as financial. If after that survey we find that there are a number of issues that have to be addressed before we can make the award to your organization, we will certainly give you the opportunity to address those. So we can even proceed with the award and give you a certain amount of time after the award to resolve all of our concerns and issues. However, if you don't make an active effort to resolve all of those issues and concerns, we can stop funding even after we've made the award. I don't think we've had an instance like that, but let you know that with an award of this size, $3 million, there may be an audit, depends on how much money you expend within one given year, but the auditors will come in, or may come in, take a look at all of your procedures, your records, and come up with findings that the USAID mission will have to address and your organization will have to address. We certainly don't want to get to that point, so we will do everything that we can to ensure that when we make the award to your organization, it's done with the understanding that you are responsible in terms of your procedures and in terms of your ability to implement the activity.
One addition on that note about surveys and administrative procedures, that process is not meant to be punitive. It's not meant to be we're not the police. You know, we're looking for areas in which we can help your organization strengthen itself, be able to take on bigger and better awards in the future, whether it's us or somebody else. So it's really seen as a how can we make recommendations to you about being a more efficiently working organization. It's not meant to be punitive.
So I didn't present myself. My Pablo is Channel 9 now. So just to tell us something more about applicable and not applicable costs within the budget.
Okay.
Your smile, Albert.
I think it's a good question that we may need, as we discussed earlier, do another session. Yeah, so Carton will respond.
Okay.
There are various types of legitimate costs that we will reimburse you for. Labor, salaries associated with personnel directly working under the activity. If you need to lease office space, if you need to purchase supplies, computers, what have you, vehicles perhaps, but you have to make the case that whatever type of costs you propose are directly linked to the implementation of the activity. We've had cases where some organizations have really had an expansive meaning of understanding of what we mean by coalitions, and they came in with 7 or 9 organizations, and each organization is asking for salaries and that sort of thing, but weren't able to justify how paying so many people would be reflected in terms of effective implementation of the activity. If you want to buy a car and you come to us and say, oh, I need this Audi SUV, we'll probably say no. But anything beyond that, you know, legitimate costs tied to direct implementation of the activity, we will entertain those as applicable costs under the contract, or the agreement, rather.
Third?
I don't want to get into that.
No. Too confusing.
With respect, because I just to come back to a point that Marco was making before, that I think we need to be very clear about, considering the fact that we're talking potentially about media literacy activities here, and that is around the question of content production. We are talking about potential media literacy activities. We understand that there will likely need to be some content produced. To the extent that you are engaging in educational content and something that is going to advance the overall objectives of this activity, that's okay. But we want to be very clear that what we are talking about is if you are, you know, kind of going to be producing content that is related to the objectives of this activity, and that from the beginning you are, you know, trying to think about where there are opportunities to provide sustainable financing for whatever it is that you're undertaking. This is one of the reasons why you'll see references in a number of places here to public-private partnerships, to thinking about how you could be partnering with media organizations, businesses, other content providers. So, you know, whatever is produced as a result of these activities is not something that's one-off that's going to end at the end of this activity, but will, you know, hopefully be able to be sustained over time. But I just wanted to be clear about that because of the fact that I know it seems a little bit unrealistic to say we're doing a media literacy program and you're not allowed to produce content. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is, Let's all be thinking, you know, over the course of implementation of this, how we, you know, seek sustainable financing for these sorts of initiatives.
Can I have one more question?
Sure.
Many if you'd like.
How do you think that anything can be sustainable in Serbia today after this period?
Yeah.
Because if you're not in political party in Serbia, you can do nothing in Serbia at the moment.
Yeah. Thank you for that question. I recognize that it is, absolute financial sustainability is a challenge. Marco made a point earlier about the fact that this is actually part of a wider slate of USAID media activities. We are involved through our program, Strengthening Media Systems, that's implemented by IREX, and I know that there are a number of other initiatives that are underway that are looking at sustainable financing models, right? Obviously, we recognize that the media sector right now is very dependent on external sources of funding for ongoing activities. I think that thinking about how, for example, you could be, you know, seeking a partnership with the private sector to take this forward. Are there ways of thinking about seeking sponsorship for activities? Are there ways of seeking out crowdfunding for specific initiatives, those sorts of things? We recognize that, you know, asking for sustainability of this initiative is a high bar. But we are asking, and you'll see this coming through here, about talking about sustainability. Really thinking through, you know, whatever you're seeking to engage. For example, media literacy curriculum. You could be, you know, producing content as a part of that, but the ultimate aim of the activity is actually to get that curriculum and the content that you're producing integrated into either a civil society managed ongoing media literacy program, into Serbian, you know, into Serbian educational curriculum, etc. That's what we're thinking about, is how do you seek the sustainability of the initiatives. It doesn't have to be that someone else is paying for it, but how is that, whatever's been produced, going to live on? Is this something that, you know, you're going to be partnering with a consumer organization or a civil society organization to take forward over the long term? The curriculum that you're developing, the content that you're producing as a result of that, will live on because of the fact that you have worked with other organizations that are going to take that forward after this activity is over. The sustainability we look at in a very broad term. It doesn't mean that someone else is going to be funding you going through. That's not what we're asking for. We're asking for what you're doing under this to continue to be being supported going forward in a very broad sense. Is that helpful?
This is okay.
And quite frankly, this is 4 years, right? And we are ultimately looking at demand for quality content, quality information. Our other programs are working on new business models, ways to monetize that content, regulatory environment. So, you know, looking at the kind of bigger perspective, it is expectation then that when this is finalized in 4 years, there's going to be a different market situation, right? So you're not going, that's kind of the driving force behind it. So, you know, so your question, what we're going to do now, actually you should be asking question, you know, in 4 years, if I'm successful, if this is successful, how is it going to look like?
More questions? Okay. I see a lot of skepticism out there. We're being very straightforward in terms of our belief that this is something that can be achieved within the Serbian context that exists today. So if you think we're crazy, please tell us.
I just think that one award is not enough for Serbia. That's what I mean. And now we are trying to see each other as a competitor. And not as a team who should work together. Mm-hmm. Because when you said one, you at the moment you cut all our questions and everything and so it will be only one, like a Highlander or something, you know?
Yeah.
Good reference.
I actually don't have a question, but I have a comment and a thank you. Mm-hmm. I come from the Ministry of Culture and Media, and as my counterpart, so I would like to say thank you for having conversation regarding this program previously. And to all of you, I would like to say that this is quite an opportunity, in my point of view, for you, because you know that other donor projects, for example, EU projects, are usually awarded to consortium that have someone other than Serbia leading it. So I would say maybe you could look at each other as partners, maybe, and change your perspective. It's quite an opportunity, and the demand side hasn't been addressed in previous projects, so good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Wanted to add something?
Well, I just wanted to say that this is definitely not the first time that we're asking for coalitions. This is about eighth or ninth project that we've put out over the past year and a half where we're looking for coalitions. And you would be surprised how some really big civil society organizations that were previously competing with each other were able to come together and work together. So I think it's possible. I don't think that this should cause competition among you guys. What we always say is make coalitions that make sense, that bring out the best. Not everybody is the best at everything, but somebody is really good at one thing and another person, another organization is really good at another thing. Together, you're already good at two different things. So put together coalitions that bring out the best aspects of what it is that your organizations do, and when put together, that makes sense towards the big goal that you're trying to achieve. And you would be surprised. Look at it as an opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And also to clarify, you may apply as a prime, but as well you may apply as a sub in many other primes. So please don't exclude yourself if you are getting an offer from an organization to be as a sub for a specific task. You still may develop your own concept paper and apply as a prime. So there is no such limit. We are not going to look on that, oh, look at this organization is all over. No, because you may be strong and you may be part of two other, three other organizations who need your expertise. And as well, you may apply as a prime in coalition with others. So. Sorry?
But no two primes.
No, one prime. I'm saying one prime. One prime, and you may be as a sub in many different concept papers.
And I think the other point I would make, and sorry, at the risk of confusing this a little bit, when we talk about coalitions, this is recommended. It is not a requirement that you apply in coalition. The other thing that I want to say, because I know this has come up in the context of other procurements, when you talk about a coalition, you don't need to have the resources divided equally among all partners, et cetera, et cetera. Going back to the point that Yelena was just making, it's really thinking about what are the results that you want to achieve and who can help you get there, right? If you can do it by yourself, great. If you think that there are other partners who can help you in achieving those outcomes, please feel free to reach out with them. To them, that's great as well, but just to be very clear.
I'm not sure I understood about partnership, the number of applications. Mm-hmm. So are you saying us that I could apply as a lead partner in one coalition mm-hmm. and be a partner, smaller partner in other coalition, or?
You are eligible to apply only once as a prime. Mm-hmm. As a sub, you may be part of many other applications mm-hmm. on concept paper, which somebody else is a prime. So yeah. Yeah, so that is in line with that. I mean, look at that as an opportunity mm-hmm. based on your expertise that you may have.
The other thing I would add too, just to remind, because this point was made a little while ago, but I just want to underscore, this question and answer period, we also recognize we just put this on the street last Friday and it's been less than a week. And I know people are busy, there's a lot going on. To the extent that you've got further questions on this question and answer is open till when, Albert?
RFA's
open until October 30th.
September 28th.
September 28th. So you still have time to take a look at this RFA. And if you have additional questions, please feel free to be in touch with Albert, Bronna, Carter, and ask those questions. And you've seen the link to grants.gov. We will post the answers to Q&A, both from this session and then from any further questions that get asked in between now and the 28th. They will be posted up on grants.gov. We will also issue an amendment to this. So please keep an eye out on it because, you know, there will be questions that you might not have thought to ask. Somebody else may ask, and you may get some good answers as a result of that. So
answer to your question will not be answered only to you. Are going
to
be published on grants.gov.
Yeah.
But we will not identify who submitted that question.
But if there are things that are not clear, please let us know because we can also make this clearer if it needs to be.
Any more questions, comments, thoughts? Okay. I'll turn it back over to Albert.
Thank you, Corton. No, thank you. I mean, if you don't have any question, I mean, we can wrap up this RFA conference. There are refreshments on the back of our room, so please take a drink or have a coffee or chat to each other and see what are the opportunities in the near future. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.